Statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You are listening to In the Know with David O., informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB. And now, your host, Philadelphia Councilman David O.
All right. Good afternoon. This is David O. Thanks for joining me this afternoon for In the Know with David O. We have got a bustling show for you. We have got a lot of guests. They are all experts in the music industry. Very excited to have them here. We're going to have kind of a free-flowing conversation. They're talking to each other right now, but since we're in the air, they kind of hushed all of a sudden. And I'm looking forward to introducing them to you. But first, let me just remind everybody that last week we had a serious conversation with Jerry Vadamala, Jeremy Fry, Ling Ling Ying about putting an end to the 11 p.m. ordinance, which was a discriminatory ordinance which targeted Chinese takeout restaurants. And thanks to the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund, Pepper Hamilton, and the Chinese Takeout Restaurant Association of Greater Philadelphia, the city has resolved that issue, thankfully, thanking the city for that. And then we talked to James Mangan, who is the executive director of Beat the Streets, which is a sports-based youth development nonprofit really focused on wrestling as a way to get young people involved in academics and mentoring and other things like that. Beat the Streets. And you can check out that show and other shows by going to www.dbam.com. Check out Programs in the Know with Dave O from the menu selection, and then click on and listen to any podcast of a show that you may be interested in, including today's show, which should be available probably sometime this afternoon after 4 o'clock. Well, today's show, as I said, is a little unusual because we are really on one topic, and that topic is how to succeed in the music business. And we're kind of focused a little bit in our conversation on PHL Live Center Stage, which is going on right now. In fact, tonight is the Jazz Finals at the Clef Club of Jazz, here in Philadelphia. But there are 10 genres of music and then an award show. And our guests, who are all experts, are judges and hosts, and they are all experts in the music business. Many of them, if not all of them, are involved with the Grammy chapter, and are just so well versed and successful in the field of music. So let me start by just letting you know who is sitting in the room and who will be sitting in the room when they get here. But we have 6 fantastic people representing a very broad range of musical expertise and genres of music. They are Tamika Farabee, Lovett Hines, Carol Riddick, Rashawn Lucas, Stephanie Siepel, Brian Cronin, and Jimmy DeSaint. And we'll get into introductions as we move along, but we're covering music right here, everything from gospel, jazz, R&B, soul, Latin, world, rock, country, folk, pop, hip-hop, and other areas. And so I'm just going to start. Well, first, I have to do this. They all know that. I have to thank our show's sponsor, right? Because without the sponsor, we wouldn't even have a show. And so bringing all these musical experts and very accomplished folks together, we have to thank Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They're located at the Land Title Building, 100 South Broad Street, Suite 1800. And for anyone who has a need for pain management or rehabilitation, things like that, check out Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Well, let me just start with one of our most experienced gentlemen, and that is Lovett Hines. Lovett Hines is at the Clef Club of Jazz here in Philadelphia. He has a longer name. He'll tell us all about it and the whole history. But just for short, the Clef Club of Jazz. And for those who don't exactly know You know, jazz is more than just one kind of genre. It's very expansive. And in fact, Lovett Hines is a gentleman who discovered some young fellas and got them their music lessons, and they later became the Roots, right? So,
yeah.
So you know, so he goes, you know, in depth with a lot of very, very accomplished and famous musicians. Lovett, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. And so let me ask you if you could, in as concise and succinct a manner, tell our listeners, what is the magic of jazz?
Well, the magic of jazz, more importantly than anything else, it's American experience, it's American cultural development and creation.
Mm.
So when we think about various types of music, you know,
right.
Jazz is one of those foundations of the music experience that was developed here in America. And then, of course, it branched out to various areas. One of the things that we are doing right now, we have a series called Jazz Cultural Voices.
Mm.
And the basis of Jazz Cultural Voices is to show the aspect of jazz in various types of music and various cultures that originated here in America or originated around the world. So jazz is very, very important as a foundation of
right.
development. And, of course, the magic part is improvisation.
Right. Now, improvisation, that's just kind of like letting it go, right? Flowing, creating, you know.
That's the creativity we find in our art elements. I think the most important thing that separates, I guess, ordinary music or ordinary art or ordinary
right.
any type of human endeavor comes from improvisation. That improvisational part is that creative element that helps anything, especially the arts, move forward, be different, creative. Right, that thing that you've never heard before comes from that improvisational element that comes into that art form. So whether it's hip hop or gospel, it's always been that artist. Okay, I'm gonna try something different because I hear it different. You know,
right.
I want to play it differently. So
right.
that's that creative element.
And could you share with us, like, because you're the artistic director, founder of the Philadelphia Clef Club of Jazz and Performing Arts Music Education Program, and it's always a fascinating story. There's so many like famous artists that you have mentored and developed, but of course we all know the Roots. So can you share with us a story about the Roots and how you came across them?
Well, I think I was lucky, just happened to be at the right place at the right time. I remember I was teaching at Settlement Music School, and it was I was over the program called the Roman Haas Jazz Ensemble.
Mm.
And a lot of the students came to me through either auditions or they were in another program that was sponsored by the city called the Better Break Music Camp. And they asked me to put a small ensemble. So we got those, I guess, the high-end students, started a small ensemble.
Right.
Well, on one Thursday, we have been, I guess, together for about a year, 2 years, so we got a little reputation. And this father came into me. His name was Lee Andrews. And he said, Mr. Hines, I got my son. He works with me. But I want him to be an all-around drummer. And Lee Andrews had an R&B club called Lee Andrews and the Hearts.
Mm.
And his son used to work with him. He used to travel on the road, be his drummer,
okay.
right? So, but he said, I want him to be more than an R&B drummer, okay? I want him to be all around. So I said, okay, great. So he brought in, of course, his son was Amir Thompson.
Right.
So Amir came into the program, and he was a great drummer. Right? But of course, he had been working with his father. He knew all the R&B hits, all the R&B songs. And he had that professional background because he was working with a professional group.
Right.
And I remember it got to the point where Amir used to always come in tired. You know, and I said, Amir, you know, why are you so tired? He said, well, Ms. Hines, I'm working with my dad on the road. So we moved the date around so it could accommodate him coming into the class.
Mm.
And so he was in my class for, I guess, about a year or so, 2 years. And then I was working at that time I moved and was working at the Clef Club. And I moved my program. So then I had a young man named Jimmy Gray that was in my class. And they were working together. Then both of them came to me. But Jimmy came to me first. He said, Mr. Hines, we're going to start a group. okay, I said, what kind of group are you going to start? He said, we're going to start a hip-hop group. And the first thing I said, well, Jimmy, you know, you've been playing jazz all this time, you know. They said, well, Mr. Hines, don't worry about it. It's going to be great. You know, we're going to have live music, you know, with the rap, you know. And I said, who else? And he said, well, then time. It still wasn't Questlove yet, you know.
Yeah,
it said, well, Amir's in the group, and I'm in the group. And he saw a name in the various players, and I knew they were really great little musicians. So I said, okay, well, little musicians, but young musicians. So I said, okay. And then they told me, I said, well, what's the name of the group? They said, well, the name is going to be The Roots. And the first thing I said, The Roots, that's not going to work. So the thing about it, and I did that once with Pieces of a Dream. They told me that they want to name their group Pieces of a Dream, and I told them that the name was too long. But the thing about it, I always wanted our young people to find their voice, voice.
Right.
You know, so no matter what I thought, you know, I didn't want to imply what I felt on their names or what they did with their music. And the last thing I told them, I wanted to be good. I said, whatever you do, right, make it good, right? Mm. All the training that you've had with me, with your experience, with your fathers and the programs you've been involved in, we always wanted you to play top level performance, you know. And so they said, okay, don't worry, Mr. Hines, you know, so you're gonna make me proud. Don't worry, you're gonna be proud of us. And they went on.
Wow.
You know?
Right.
And I think about 4 or 5 years after that, someone came to me and said, Mr. Hines, one of your kids won a Grammy. And I'm trying to think, who it is? And they showed me this picture, okay, and he said, Questlove. I said, Questlove? I never had a Questlove. And I see this picture with this kid with his big afro, right? And the first thing I said, oh, that's Amir, right? I'm saying little Amir, right, because he was little with me, right? And then I saw, and he said, and Kamal, again, I never had a Kamal, and I look at the picture, Jimmy Gray, you know? Mm, yeah. So the thing about it, you know, I think about it all the time, right? And I think the only thing that I really did with those young people is because they came to me and they were interested and they were always there at every rehearsal. Wow. They were always there. It was always constant development. And that creative idea, that creative element is that they went on and say, we had jazz, we would learn jazz, but Amir always said it at his father's memorial service. He said he grew up, he heard jazz all in the household, he worked with his father, but he heard something else. And that was the voice that he follows.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Well, I'm going to switch over to Stephanie. Stephanie has got a ton of experience. I mean, every time she tells her resume, you got to take about like 10 minutes just to listen to it. But one of the things that you're doing now is you're with Reviver Records.
Yep, I'm with Reviver Records, which is based out of Nashville, Tennessee. And I have the privilege of living and working in Philadelphia because I run the Northeast region. So half of our team actually lives in Nashville and then flies out to their regions. And then half of us actually live in our regions and then just travel around to visit all of our radio station accounts.
Now what is your job at Reviver?
So my actual title is Radio Promotion Manager for the Northeast, mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't realize all the work that goes into getting songs played on the radio. You know, most people think, well, they just get, you know, records online or in the mail these days, and even still, and if they hear it and they like it, then they're going to play it, but it really doesn't work that way. That's a lot of it is relationship based, and you know, if you follow charts, you know, radio wants to see data today. They want to see charts. They'll also look at streaming. They'll look at social media. You know, and then there's a lot of, you know, getting people in front of radio programmers, which, you know, in today's world, everything's done online, but this is still one industry that if you want to get your records played on the radio, you've got to meet the people. And you've got to be willing to get on the road and shake hands and kiss babies, as they say.
Right, right.
And, you know, and you've got to be able to play and play well, because if you're getting in front of a radio programmer and you're playing live, but he's already heard your recording and you playing live isn't as good, that's not going to go well either.
Mm. So I recall you brought one of your artists in. He flew in, and you were very persistent in making sure he got in front of a certain somebody. And, you know, that's a lot of what you do. That's not all that you do. But what kind of experience is that for you? I know what kind of, or I can imagine what kind of experience it is for the artist. But what is it for you to take that artist and to bring him in? Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. You come back at it again, you come back at it again. What is that experience?
I mean, the best thing that you can relate it to is sales. You know, it's just like being a sales rep, but we're not selling in, we are selling the artist, but there's no monetary compensation going on. It's more or less of a, of, you know, building that relationship myself with programmers and then building that relationship with the artist and the programmers. And so for me, you know, I spend most of my week, if I'm not on the road, calling, you know, 30 some stations every single day and chatting with these folks and letting them know what's happening with our acts and where we are on the charts and what kind of shows they've got going on or television or what that may be. And then the rest of my time is putting together radio tour schedules where we'll actually do, you know, and sometimes it's along with an actual tour where we've got shows lined up. So we'll visit radio in between, and other times it's just strictly a radio tour, especially if you're introducing a new act. So
you're going from radio station to radio station, program manager to program manager.
Yeah, sometimes we're in three cities in one day, so we usually never spend the night in the same hotel room twice.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, so it's something that, you know, if you're thinking about doing this for a career, you've got to be a people person, number one. And you've also got to like to travel, and you've got to like to put together travel itineraries and drive.
Wow.
You do a ton of driving.
And we're going to come back to everyone. I just want to remind our listeners that what we're really talking about is, one, we're going to talk a little bit about PHL Live because that's kind of how we're all connected. And that is a platform for aspiring musicians and artists, and everyone here is involved. But the bigger question, and what PHL Live has something to do with, is, well, how do you succeed in the music business? And so different perspective, different ideas. So let me turn to Carol Riddick, who is a singer, songwriter, well-known, obviously, and highly, you know, accomplished and acclaimed in her craft. And so from the artist perspective, Carol, you know, as you were coming up and now as a really recognized artist, what challenges did you face that you have been able to overcome?
Oh, well, that's a very good question. Thank you. I was just talking about this the other day about maturing. And when I was starting out, I was trying to figure out who I was as an artist, as a person even. Because when you're younger, you know, you just want to do what's hot.
Right.
You're not necessarily concerned with maintaining or finding who you are and maintaining and being who you are. But with maturing, it got easier to maintain and to stay who I am, to stay, you know, stay true to who I am.
Right.
And that's actually been something that I've held on to with regard to my career. Once I determined who I am as a musician, as a vocalist, as an artist, you know, it was easier to just hold on to it and ride that and try to perfect and, you know, be better at it.
Yeah, a lot of famous people, you know, when you were coming up as an artist, I guess one of the milestones that you accomplish is, you know, you start singing for famous folks. You're on their records. You hear yourself on the radio. Just name dropping. I mean, I could run through Will Smith, Jazzy Jeff, Jill Scott, Kindred, The Family Soul, Music Soul Child, of course, and so many others. Erykah Badu, and many others. And so there's a point where you are as a singer, as a artist, as a vocalist. You're getting the recognition professionally, and developing your fan base and all that. What comes after that? Because for many people, at least from a layperson's point of view, that looks like pretty much up there. But is it for you?
Well, and I was just about to say, it depends on who you are as an individual and what you want for yourself.
Right.
I enjoy what I do. I'm a vocalist at the core of, you know, my musical career. So I enjoy singing, whether I'm, you know, doing leads for my own project or whether I'm supporting a project in which I believe. So being a vocalist, for me, is what I want to do. And I'm enjoying that.
Okay. And then let me turn over then for an introduction to Tamika Farabee. She is also a nationally known songwriter, musician, voice and piano instructor, a graduate of the Creative and Performing Arts High School here in Philadelphia, as so many are connected. We're just talking about the roots, right?
Yeah.
And music director. She has traveled to many distant countries and worked with artists like Patti LaBelle, Kirk Franklin, Yolanda Adams, to name a few. Accomplished and very well respected, obviously. Tamika, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
What is it that that you look for when you are kind of judging a performer?
That's a great question. I look to see if they believe what they're singing or doing or saying. If they believe in, you know, if they're passionate about what they are presenting. I look to see if they're making a connection with the audience.
Right.
I look to see if I understand their message, if the song makes sense. Stage presence. I look to see if they're comfortable doing what they're doing, and I try to glean what they're trying to convey, and a bunch of other stuff.
Is that in a way a reflection of what you try to do yourself?
Oh, absolutely. One thing I teach my choir praise team, you have to first believe what you're singing in order for the person that you're singing to understand what you're trying to express. So yes, I definitely try to relay that and the message of what I'm singing, and try to bring the atmosphere of either that moment that I wrote that song or, you know, that encounter that I had with God when he dropped it in my spirit. So I try to bring that to the stage.
Now, we were talking to Carol Riddick, who, you know, does a lot of things, but generally, you know, kind of I think of her as R&B
amazing.
Soul, right? But she does more than that.
She's the bomb.com.
Yeah. But let's talk about gospel for a second, because when you judge a gospel artist, like a gospel performer, how much of it is the technical skill, the artistic skill, and how much of it is the testimony?
Wow, that's a great question.
Yes.
How much is the technical skill? The one thing about gospel is it's a ministry. Gospel music is a ministry. Mm-hmm. So you are ministering. And it's always hard because you don't want to get into the artist side because you want to continue to be a minister. So it's hard to judge and it's hard to be judged gospel music. But with a gospel artist, that individual has to understand, okay, let me learn the art. Let me learn the artistry of it. And I'm judging that if the person's done their homework, studied to become that artist, or are they just giving me their testimony, giving me, their song or their passion or whatever. So that with gospel music, you have to learn the art, you know, stage presence and all of that stuff. So it's just really hard. So
yeah.
I judge that part.
Right.
I can feel what you're singing. I feel the spirit from what you're singing, but do you have the stage presence? So I have to judge that as well.
Yeah, I find it interesting, and I'm going to throw this at Brian Cronin because he's a publisher of that Music Mag. But, you know, when I go to PHL Live, for example, when I, you know, because so if you don't know, if you're listening, what happens, PHL Live, it's a website. You just go online, upload your YouTube video of your musical performance. Mm-hmm. It's free. You could do it in 10 musical categories, from gospel to hip hop to classical, jazz, rock, all that stuff. But then we have these judges who are mm-hmm. sitting around here. They look at each video and they select five finalists who are like our five winners.
Yes.
But that's based on a video. And now they're going to come in and perform live mm-hmm. in front of the judges, which is nerve-wracking
yes.
if you're the artist, because you're sitting in front of Grammy Award winners and, you know, people who could put you, you know, like all these famous folks here uh-huh. in little venues, though. And then what happens is you perform, and then we don't announce the winner.
Mm-hmm.
But at the award show, the five finalists are announced, and there is a winner. And after the 10 genres are finished, there will be voting for a people's choice.
Right.
And so from my perspective as a layperson, I say that as a person who's not a music expert, because it's not what, you know, to me, it's interesting because it's not like simply just listening and saying, hey, that was the best. Because, you know, the judges, being that the experts that they are, they sometimes, you know, like they pick out very unique or interesting things that I would not think of.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it were up to me, everyone would sound like my favorite artist, right? Been there, done that. But of course, I'm looking for like, hey, that was entertaining, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But certainly looking for something unique and different or something, you know, that is like something, you know, as you were saying, like the testimony, the mm-hmm. the artistic ability, the creativity, you know, mm-hmm. the innovation or the soulfulness or whatever it is that your commercial success, whatever it is that you're looking for
mm-hmm.
is not necessarily something that I look for, because I just show up and, you know, you know, I'm not trying to be that creative. So Brian, on your part and for that mag, like how do you kind of consider the characteristics of all these different music genres and what makes like someone stand out in a particular genre?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it has to do with for the first and foremost, especially when it comes to the when we're watching the YouTube videos.
Right.
A lot of the people when they're putting in their presentation, a lot of them don't have the budgets that they have these great videos.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have to put that in effect. You know, take that for
take account that
yeah
hey, yeah.
I mean, if you're putting your music video out there, I think obviously that should be an important portion of it. It should be presented properly the way you want it to be. But then at the same time, you have to, you know, you look at the social media updates and what they have, and maybe they're brand new and just starting out and they don't have the budget. So then that's when I have to listen to the actual song per se.
Right.
And see what the talent is and see where I think it would go along and if it's oversaturated in that particular market or not. And then when you go on to the live performance, I really look for audience participation mostly, personally for me, because when you see great acts out there, they can be amazingly, but you can also listen to them at home. So if you're going to go out to the show, I want to be entertained in a sense. So I want to see the audience participation and how they react to it. And you mean, like I said, you could be the best guitar player, or the best vocalist, but if no one else is like picking that up and no one's getting involved and excited about it, then maybe you should do something different. Maybe you should tweak it a little bit more.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what happens with PHL Live is we have original music.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're looking at the performers, and obviously if they sound just like somebody, that's probably not a great thing because that person's already out there. But how much of it is the original, not just performance or the sound, but also like the songwriting? What do you think about that? I'll ask Stephanie.
Man, I think that's kind of a loaded question depending on the genre.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got such a different technique and style, and, you know, there's trends that fall in and fall out. So maybe what you love, it really depends on, I guess, what kind of artist you'd like to be. And I ask artists that a lot. You know, I'll say, mm-hmm. you know, do you want to have a top five you know, on the chart, or do you want to have a solid, you know, X amount of your super fans who are going to purchase your tickets, who aren't necessarily listening to terrestrial radio? And, you know, what kind of artist do you want to be? Do you want to fit the mold of what is a so-called hit, or do you want to have a little more creative freedom to do what you want to do? So I really think it's case by case, honestly.
Okay. Well, listen, what I'm going to do right now is we're going to take a break for a commercial. But when we get back, we're gonna ask our guests to reveal their secret formulas for success.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 1617 John F. Kennedy Boulevard, Suite 1100, Philadelphia, PA 19103. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise: technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
We are back. Listen, we are here. We have been talking about music and music success. Kind of, we're in the middle of PHL Live, and so we've had a lot of submissions and a lot of people performing. And, you know, listen, perform under pressure, right? Because, you know, I forget how nervous folks get because, you know, you're really performing. It's very important. And you've got some people you truly admire out there kind of judging you while you're doing this, trying to be natural. But for them and everybody else, I'm just going to ask our guests here, Brian Cronin from That Mag, Carol Riddick, a vocalist, Tamika Farabee, gospel music, Lovett Hines with the Clef Club of Jazz, and Stephanie Siepel with Reviver, and many others in indie Tri-State Indy and others. Kind of like if you think about it just for yourself, when you look at other artists, or if you were to give someone advice or think about like the best or most difficult times that you had, what is your secret sauce? What is your secret kind of thing that you got going for you? Where are your superpowers? So I will ask Lovett to start us off.
Yes, well, let's hear about your superpowers.
Rip that shirt off.
I guess my superpowers, I guess working with young people. Okay. Because I'm asked this question all the time.
Okay.
I look at like a Christian McBride and Joey DeFrancesco, then Questlove, and even Damien, you know, just talking about kids in the roots, Ari Holt. I can just name all the kids, right? Jaleel Shaw. One of the things that I think is important is that when I see a young person, and they always ask me, say, well, did you know he's going to be this great star? When young people come to me, no, you don't know. Right. And what you do, you have to offer what you have. The most important thing is that I think I want those young people to have the freedom to develop what they have. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And what Tamika was saying, and you asked her that hard question about the ministry and performance. And I think my job is to give those kids all the tools that they need to make them as strong technically that they can express themselves easily. So if you have all those tools and you don't have to think about what key you're singing in, you don't know what the chord mm-hmm. structures is, you know, or technique on the instrument, then what you want to say in internally or emotionally is going to come out. Right. So I think the most important thing that I try to do is make sure that I create an environment those kids can help be freedom, give them the tools they need to create. And I try to do that with all the kids. Of course, those that have more, you don't know, but you see them how they. One of the things I was talking about, Questlove, is that constant development. Most of those kids who want that is going to always show up. So you don't have any problems about attendance. You don't have any problems with them listening about suggestions. You don't have any problems saying, look, we're going to see a performance. I remember Joey DeFrancesco was at one point did like Miles Davis. Okay. Well, because someone told him that Miles was when he went was playing Bitches Brew and going to another form, right? That he's playing nothing but rock, you know. And that was influenced by someone else. So what we did, I said, let's take a field trip. And we took a field trip to the Academy of Music. He saw Miles in person, and then he had a chance to form his own impression of what Miles was doing. 10 months later, he's playing with Miles Davis. So giving him that opportunity and opening up that environment for creativity and giving them the tools they need and experience they need to express themselves, I think that's
yeah. And one of the things I hear you saying is that, you know, someone that you can do all that for, who's that receptive, that on the ball, not late, ready to receive, ready to expand, even if they're not sure or they don't like what you're saying, ready to accept, they're the ones that get the most out of it.
Those are the ones.
They're a pleasure to teach and to mentor.
Yeah, and it hasn't been hard, you know.
Right, right.
And then at this point now, when I asked that question so many times, did you know he's going to be a star? So I started saying, yes, I knew it. I saw it right away. But that's being fictitious.
No. You can make some big bucks, I think.
No, we just do what we do with the young people. Yeah.
And Carol, how about yourself?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know that I have a superpower, but what I will say is that what I have believed to be the lowest points in my career thus far is when I was not being true to myself, which is why I always, always, always tell anyone
was that about? What happened?
Well, I was listening to other people.
And who were they telling you to be?
Yeah.
Everybody but me. Everybody exactly. but me. And it was horrible. I felt horrible. And when I started thinking about, because I was actually considering following the path of not being who I am. And when I was considering it, it just got worse. So just the consideration affected, you know, my life. So when I made the decision that was not what I was going to do, things changed immediately for the better.
Wow.
And again, that's why I maintain staying true to yourself and remaining strong in faith, because I prayed through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always have. That was something my parents always told me to do.
Right.
Listen, before you do anything.
Right, right.
You pray.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, I prayed through it and asked for guidance, and that is another thing that I always tell anyone that is up and coming, to do that first. Ask for guidance, because he will tell you. He will show you.
Right.
And that's why I say, you know, what we do as artists, we exercise the gifts that we're given. But Tamika said it, mm-hmm. it is our ministry, because right. we minister to ourselves as well mm-hmm. as to others.
Yes.
So maintaining, mm-hmm. you know, maintaining my faith, if that's a superpower, then I'm telling you, I'm maintaining my faith, but being true to myself, being true to who I am.
Right.
Because I get to enjoy what I
do. Now, just piques my curiosity, because it just seems like one of those things about, like, you had a manager who told you to dress this way, look this way, act that way.
Oh, yeah.
Is this part of that story, or was it a completely different situation?
No, it is part of that story.
Okay.
Yeah,
so someone
team.
Was molding yeah. you and Ooh. Shaping you to... be on the path of success as they were trying to define it for you.
They were. They were. They were telling me.
And it's got to be a great temptation.
Oh,
I mean,
it was.
But, yeah.
No,
you know?
It absolutely was.
Yeah.
Because they were putting me in places that in which I wanted to be.
Yes.
But I did not want to be in those places.
As that
as
person.
As that person.
Yes.
Exactly. So
right.
I still got to go to those places, but as me, praise God. But, you know, as
yeah.
the person that I am.
And that's a tough thing to say to young people mm-hmm. who have put it all on the line. They got their music, they're lost, they're trying to pay the rent, and here
right.
comes along this great break, and put these on, do that,
right.
act like this, do that.
But that's where your faith comes in.
Mm.
Because you have to own it and know
right.
that what God has for you is for you
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you alone.
Right.
I mean, everybody will try to offer you everything else, but that is not for you.
Right.
But you have to, you know, exercise your discernment that he gives you.
Yeah.
Wow. So let me switch over to Stephanie. I mean, because you have covered a lot of record labels. We've only talked about Reviver, but you have a whole history back there, starting out pretty young in the music industry. And so now, as you run into aspiring artists, musicians, and successful ones who are not quite where they want to be, even though we would say they're successful, what have you learned, or what is it that you see that you could really, you know, tell people, here's my nuggets of gold for you?
Carol, I have to say, Everybody But Me. That's a song title right there. There you go. That's the next single. Anyway, it's stuck in my head now.
Wow.
But a lot of what everybody's already said here, it I think there's like a common thread, and I think that's going to continue as everyone speaks their mind. But, you know, for me, and because the industry has changed so much mm-hmm. from... You know, when I started out, we still had CDs, and that was, you know, sales were number one.
You're young, CDs.
I think they're called records.
Well, believe it or not, there's young people that don't even know what CDs are today.
That's very true.
Yes, I'm not joking. So, yeah. But I think that's, you know, when you look at how much things have changed, and you look at people that used to work with you anymore who maybe have dropped out of the business, and I think, again, it's how passionate about you are staying in the business. Is this really for you, or is it something you thought looked cool? And if it is something for you, you will learn how to adapt mm-hmm. and roll with the changes in some way, compromise, but yet be a chameleon and figure out what the right path for you is.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
The most I can usually tell people is never stop learning. Because
yes.
if someone says to you that they're an expert in the music business, they're probably trying to steal your money.
Exactly.
And, you know, I hate that word expert in the music industry, because so it's changing every single day,
mm-hmm.
especially now more so than ever. But I think my one golden nugget is always remember that no matter how much this business becomes digital, there is always going to be the relationship-based part of it that is never going to change or go away.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you want to sit behind your computer and look at data and be on YouTube, that's cool, but you're probably never going to make it, even for whatever you think that is. So it might be the only business that remains a person-to-person in, you know, having FaceTime business, but I think at least for the foreseeable future, it will be that way. So that's usually what I tell up and coming people is that you've got to still get out there and meet the people. And again, still be true to yourself for sure.
So much of the arts and appreciation is like subliminal. It's like deep in the person. It's not really something you could kind of just like jot down a few points on. Is that why the human to human, person to person, kind of like all of that subjectivity, kind of like a what you think, believe, as someone who's got a position in the music business, they got to kind of see it, touch it, hear it, feel it type thing. Is that what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, if you think about, you know, back in the day, whether it was vinyl or, you know, 8-track or cassettes or, you know, CDs, that you would hear something that would resonate with you, that music is about how you feel. And then you would get that tangible piece of art because it was a piece of art. It is a piece of art from the cover to the liner notes to the passion that went into all of the design. It was this complete package.
Right.
And I think that once that started getting stripped away, even young people started getting hungry for that, because for the first time ever this year, vinyl has superseded CD sales, which isn't, I guess, in the grand scheme saying a whole lot, but I think that that's really interesting. Right. Because now, you know, turntables are being sold again, and when you see people at concerts, at least in my experiences, and you do a meet and greet, everybody wants something signed.
Exactly.
You know, that's something tangible that they can take with them.
That's your connection to the human experience.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
We all want that.
And I think as much as all of these big companies come in and they try and strip away that tangible aspect of it, it creeps right back in several different avenues. So
it's supposed to be.
Yes, it's meant to be that way.
Wow. Well, listen, we are coming up on our commercial break, so I ask all our listeners, we're going to hear from Tamika Farabee, Brian Cronin, right after this commercial break.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 1617 John F. Kennedy Boulevard, Suite 1100, Philadelphia, PA 19103. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the Y. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
All right, we are back. Listen, we are here. We are talking about PHL Live. We're talking about music and just kind of like what it takes to be successful in the music business. Pretty wide open question. We are joined by Stephanie Siepel, Lovett Hines, Tamika Farabee, Carol Riddick, and Brian Cronin. And so I'll ask Tamika, like just in the conversation of, you know, kind of what you've drawn together from your experiences and your struggles and successes and watching others and all that. What do you have to say to someone who is trying to be successful in the music industry?
I would say, number one, own your difference and keep the edges of your differences sharp.
Edges of your differences sharp.
Yes. I would also say, don't be afraid to fail. Learn from your mistakes and move forward. Mm. Someone gave a quote and said, you will fail more times than you will succeed.
Yes.
So don't be afraid to fail. And don't be afraid of rejection. Never stop believing in you. Always be prepared. Be ready so you don't ever have to get ready. Enjoy the journey. I think a lot of times we're so focused on, okay, I got to get here. But there's so many things that's going on as you're traveling to here. Conversations, relationships, people that you meet, experiences, things that you see. So enjoy the journey. Like she was talking about discernment, I always say, hear God and be led.
Right.
Be led. Don't, you know, just say, oh, I'm going to do this. No, hear God and be led, because everything is not for you.
Hello.
And every good thing is not a God thing.
Hello.
So, and when you don't fulfill purpose, you will live a life of frustration. So you have to find what your purpose is. This is the last thing. And I'm gonna go.
Wow.
I want to talk about vocal health.
Yes.
Yes.
You cannot go to the store and buy another voice. Mm. So you have to take care of the one that you have. Mm. Make an appointment. Get your vocal cords checked.
Right.
And musicians, get your ears checked. I've been playing the Hammond organ for like over 25 years. So there's a big, what they call a Leslie next to the organ. Every 3 to 5 times a week. So I had to get my ears checked. Mm. You know, so musicians with earphones, all of that, get your ears checked, because if you're having some hearing loss, they'll tell you, okay, you need to put in earplugs. Mm-hmm. So we have to, those are some things I would say.
You know, that's obvious, but something I never thought of.
Wow.
No, isn't that interesting? So
yeah,
obvious.
With the earpods and my earphones
goodness, yes.
that we use.
Everything.
Yeah,
you know, so we have to be mindful of
definitely.
Those things.
And Brian, how about you? You know, what bag of gold do you have to share?
I mean, I always keep an open mind in general, and I like to tell people and all types of artists, like, be like, it's like everyone in the room has said, always be true to yourself first. Keep an open mind. Always listen to someone's advice if they're giving you good advice. I'm one of those people who like to give advice. I like to educate musicians as they're coming up from their small end, working their way up to the top. Within me personally, knowing the right person at the right time could take you to the next level. Have an open mind and don't be closed-minded when you're playing that show. Just because there's six people in the room, you don't know who those six people can be.
Right.
You know, be supportive of every artist on the same bill that you're on. And even if you come out on different nights, to support it all. I think one of the things a lot of the artists, especially locally, no one supports one another enough. And I think if we have unity and everyone's supporting one another, your success level will be that much bigger. I just feel like I see so much of it for so many years. And I think if once everybody gets on board on the same page, it'd be the success rate that we would have in this city alone would be amazing. But just always keep your ear to the ground and take care of your vocals and your ears, most important. It's true. And just keep an open mind and know exactly who it is that you want to be, because there's artists out there who think they're going to make it to the next level, and then turns out half the people in their band just want to be weekend warriors. So always know everybody's and everybody's goal.
Right, right. So I'm going to ask everybody, and I only have probably time for one person to answer. So first one to answer this. So have you in PHL Live come across someone, you don't have to say you did if you didn't, that really stuck out as like, oh my God, that person is just like amazing, and I really want to get behind them?
I have to say yes.
Oh, really? Wow. We got a yes. Oh. Tamika Farabee.
From their video presentation to their performance, like they stood out.
What caught you about them? Why are they so special?
Their passion. Like they were ready. Like they're like, oh, we're going to get this. You know, because they have a focus. They have a purpose. You could tell they're hungry for it. So
right.
They stood out to me.
Right. And I guess the big question is, will they keep going? Will they continue?
I believe that they will. I believe you can sense it, you know.
Right. Wow.
You know, from a person who's just, we'll see what happens. No. A person is like, oh no, we coming strong, we coming hard.
So they're serious. You saw that.
Right.
You have confidence in that they are going to put all that energy, persistence, doggedness, and so that's what's impressing you as well.
Yes.
Wow.
Their sound. I mean, of course, their sound is great. Their presentation was great. Their band, everything was connected, all of that. And they had that, you know.
Wow. Well, let me say this. December the 3rd at the World Cafe Live, mark it down, I think 7 o'clock, right, for the award show, PHL Live Center Stage. Mm-hmm. Be there. You are going to see the 5 finalists in 10 categories, 50 finalists, and find out who the winner is in each one of the 10 categories, and then the people's choice, and that's thanks to our judges. Well, listen, thanks for joining me. Tune in next week for In the Know with David O.
You've been listening to In the Know with David O., on 860 AM WWDB. Tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio with Philadelphia Councilman David O.